B64. Number 2A.
Now, the moment John Dolly saw that absolute Christian Science needed quite a different attitude and altitude of consciousness, he naturally asked himself, but that altitude has also a fourfold operational sense of word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And so he asked himself now, how does Mrs. Eddy bring out that consciousness when it is contemplating the word, and when it is contemplating the Christ, and then Christianity and science? And so he was searching in the textbook how Mrs. Eddy would use the terms life, truth, and love, and could see that she changes the order or the arrangement of these terms quite often. And so he found out that whenever Mrs. Eddy wanted to bring out the word sense, namely the sense of the impulsion of God's creative aspect, that then Mrs. Eddy would call it life, truth, and love, in which life says, I am the impelling power, I am the spontaneous, impelling, mutating power of being. And that what I bring and call into being as life is always the facts about being, the facts of being. And those facts of being are always at the point of love, of perfection and completion and fulfillment. So he began to see life, truth, and word as the impelling power of God. Then, when Mrs. Eddy wants to bring out the Christ, how God individualizes itself, he could see that Mrs. Eddy uses those three terms in a different arrangement, namely as truth, life, and love, namely that the one truth infinitely individualizes itself through life, and through love, adapting that individualization to the specific situation. So Mr. Dolly called it usually that one truth that individualizes, a love that is the consummation of that individualization. When one considers then Christianity is at the point of idea, not at the point of God. Then naturally, Christianity as a son needs a parent, and therefore Christianity being brought back to God only depicts the parent of life and love, and not the son. So truth does not appear there. And Mrs. Eddy would use life and love in order to bring out that the universe of ideas is constantly fathered by life and constantly mothered by love, that life is constantly supporting, providing, sustaining the universe, and that love would always protect that universe, would always bring that universe protected and embrace it, so that it's always within the embrace of love, so that nothing can enter anymore. Nothing foreign can enter anymore. So we get the sense that the universe of ideas is constantly eternalized by life, and therefore always also protected by love. When one comes to the fourth side in Absolute Christian Science, the foresight, as we have seen, is always that point of beingness, and therefore shows that that which is always of the nature of truth and love, is always something that is a fact that exists in truth, and that fact in truth has always existed in its perfection as love. So truth and love are very often used in the textbook by Mrs. Eddy just to bring out and say, you know, nothing has to be brought into being. In Absolute Christian Science, everything is at the point of fulfillment. Namely, you have only to do with facts of truth, which are always complete and perfect, right from the beginning. So we have not the term life in there, because there no more the impelling creative ability of life is necessary, because everything is at the state of being anyway. What is that state of being? That there are facts that are complete. Just like in arithmetic, we don't have to bring really arithmetic into being, create it, or call it into being. When we consider the science of arithmetic, we go out from the fact that the numbers are, and that they are complete, and that they don't have to be brought into existence. So even that point goes out at the point of science in Absolute Christian Science. Again, let's run through it again quickly here on Absolute Christian Science. What do we see in Absolute Christian Science? We see that the divine principle is always life, truth, and love. What does that mean? That the divine principle always wants to bring out its essence of being in its absolute completion and perfection. How can we see that? We can see it as the word which first says, yes, it actually life that impels everything in being. Let there be. And there was. It's truth, it's factual. And it is always good and complete love. So I have a terrific impelling sense of the word that says, let there be life, truth, and love. The accent is on the first one. It's a trinity that is said, that is presented, and not an order. It's a trinity with the accent on the first one, on life. And I get the feeling that when I think in Absolute Christian Science, I just always hear that very point that being says, let there be what is factual and what is already complete. And the Christ says, and that truth is translating itself as life constantly to a situation that is adapted, love. It's always consumed. And I get the sense that that which is constantly translated to the Christ as individualized ideas are always in the embrace of the parent of life and love. That life eternalizes those ideas so that they are not coming and going. Life eternalizes it. Life supports it. Life maintains it. Life provides it so that they never falter, that they never wean away. And love says, and that which is, I'm going to culture, I'm going to tend, that I to that I give all my blessing, I protect that, I include that, I embrace that, so that nothing can touch it anymore. And then in consciousness, I go further and I think, well, is that so, that actually the word brings constantly into being, that by the logos everything is made that was made? Isn't it so that being existed always before Abraham was, I am? Doesn't truth exist as truth? That does not need to be first made to be truth. And so I come to the science aspect of Absolute Christian Science, where I begin to see that the facts of being, truth, are always at the point of completion or perfection. And I just can go back to that very high altitude of thought. So while John Dolly was thinking along that way, or while we are beginning to think along that way, there always will come one point where consciousness says, but why is the climax? Is it actually so that the word in Absolute Christian Science constantly brings newness into life, that it is that which brings the spontaneity of life, the mutation of life? Is that true? Is not being being? Because at the end of that fourfold activity in Absolute Christian Science, you had truth and love, which said, actually, there is no more life there, the impulsion of life. There are just the facts of being that are eternal. And so thought rises a little higher to divine science and says, actually, that life is not the impelling life. Actually, that life says there is only one being, one life, one existence, one isness. And everything is already at the point of isness. And so you start stating on the level of divine science, of oneness. See, in a sense of oneness, you have no more a creative ability or an impelling activity. What is, and that's the level of divine science, and says, therefore, the word of God says, I am, I'm the isness of being, a one and only life. That Christ is just the one Christ that includes all truth, so I'm the one truth. I am the truth of all truth, therefore I'm the one truth. And Christianity says, I'm the one love. There are not many ideas that have to be tended and cared for and protected. There is just one Christianity of love where everything is at the state of beingness. And finally, we have that combination of principle love, which Mrs. Eddy uses so much in the textbook, in order to bring out the science on the level of divine science itself, so to say, which says all what has been stated as the one life that is, and the one truth that is the one Christ, and the one universe of being, that the universe of Christianity as the one love, is a principle. It's a principle that says love is a principle. Life, truth, and love is a principle, and that principle is always that principle which must be love. Love here is not loving. Love is with a capital L. That principle love is not the principle which says you should be kind to people, you should be nice to people. It's much higher than that. It's a capitalized term which says that actually the principle of divine science is that universal sense that God includes within itself life, truth, and love. The one life, the one truth, the one love. That's your principle love. Go out from that principle. And so finally, as one looks at that, one says, well, then actually, principle is the main thing of being. That principle which includes itself, the person of God as the one Father, the one Son, and the one Mother, the one life, the one truth, the one love. Therefore, all that is going on actually is principle being principle. And that lifted thought higher up to the level of science itself. It was around about 1949, only way at the end of John Dorley's life, that he began to speak in the spring of 1949, when he went through the Bible, he suddenly would divert and say, look here, we were thinking along the line of Christian Science, then we were rising higher to the level of Absolute Christian Science, then we were rising higher to the level of Divine Science, and then he said, but today, we begin to see that we can rise even higher than that, namely to science itself. So the highest level we must define as science itself, not just as science, because science is the overall term, which includes all the synonymous term of science itself, divine science, absolute Christianity, and Christian science, so that it is science itself, and science itself is showing what? That it is a principle, and if it's science itself, therefore looking at itself, it is showing that principle is its own infinite principle. And we just begin to realize that being is its own infinite being, being knowing nothing except its own beingness. So, in a way, Chandoli symbolized that highest level of science itself as infinite principle. Not just as principle, giving a little touch to explain what kind of principle that is. It is not just the principle of a system, but it's higher than that, just saying God is principle, or the one being is principle, principle being aware of itself as the one and only principle. And therefore we get there the highest sense of being, namely principle knowing itself as principle, with everything that is included in that term principle. Now we know from an article in Miscellany on capitalization that there she brings out that naturally the term principle includes all the synonymous terms. But the accentuation is not on mind, spirit, soul. The accentuation is not even on life, truth, and love as the essence and demonstration. In being, we don't have an understanding and a demonstration. In being, there is just beingness, which does not need understanding, nor does it need demonstration on that altitude of consciousness, where we just are realizing what the mystics were trying to realize as the nirvana, as the I am that I am. Now we begin to realize that nirvana, no more as a nirvana, but as the oneness of being, which holds within itself the whole chart, the whole model of being, that holds within itself really the level of Christian science, absolute Christian science, divine science, which holds within itself the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science, which holds within itself mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, all that together as one principle. Principle operating as principle and operating and knowing itself as the one only principle. Not even knowing itself through its ideas, but only knowing principle, knowing itself as principle. Yes. So, in this way, the ascending way leads us really from the very first influx of light, when the light breaks into the human consciousness and says, let there be light, and presents to human consciousness an idea. From there, it leads us in an ordered way, uphill all the way, as Mrs. Eddy would call it, uphill all the way, the ascending way, leading us to first to the days of creation, to the numerals of infinity, then to the seven synonymous terms, which are then shown in the Word order, then the Christ order, then the Christianity order, then the science order, finally bringing to us into consciousness that the absolute knows only its own ideas and not the human state of things. So it brings us to the level of absolute Christian science, then from there to the level of divine science, where it begins to see that there is only one life and one truth and one love and one principle of, and finally saying, well, this operational sense of the one life and one truth and one love and one principle of is an operational sense, whereas being is a state of beingness, doesn't have to operate anything, it contains everything within itself, and so on the level of science itself we begin to realize that principle only is its own infinite principle. At that point we have reached the climax of the textbook, whereas Mrs. Eddy says the climax of the Bible is divine science. Maybe she showed really as the climax of the Bible the city four square, which is showing the four, whereas the climax of the textbook is science itself, which does not need any more a four, because it does not need to operate within itself, because it is what it is. I am that I am, so I don't need to operate. And therefore, Mrs. Eddy gives as a climax science itself. But in the same way as the Bible as a climax shows the city foursquare, in two ways, namely in entering the city and in going out of the city, the doors were going inside and outside. You could enter through the doors and go out of the doors of the holy city, which means in the ascending way of understanding we go into the city, in the descending way we go out of the city through the doors. In the same way, Chandoli would show now that the ascending way could now be looked at from an altitude of science itself, and so to say look down without going down. That's always a big point that we have to remember. We never really go down in the descending way. We only see the descending way from the housetop, from the mountaintop, but we have to see what it implies, how it operates, how it works, when the impact of science itself is on divine science, then on absolute Christian science, then on Christian science. So we come to the second category, to the descending way, and it is the way of demonstration. Therefore, we can say once we have gone up the way and have understood the upward way and not just looked at the chart with our eyes and looked at those terms with our eyes, or perhaps even have some kind of a concept of the whole chart, what we need to have is an inward conscious consciousness of those four levels. And the more we have that understanding of the levels, the more naturally we can use them as the way of demonstration coming down. So let's see what we entertain in consciousness if we go out from the level of science itself. If we go out from what is called here the infinite principle. And so we may first entertain as the way of demonstration really that highest consciousness where we begin to see that mind is its own infinite mind. We see that, or let me start out with what you have here, the infinite principle is its own infinite principle, but as a way of demonstration I always begin to elaborate on such a concept and say, what does it imply? How can I cover the biggest range of such a statement? And so I know that principle is also mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And therefore I can see that I can entertain already in consciousness that highest sense of the infinite principle by seeing that mind is its own infinite mind, that actually spirit is its own infinite spirit, that soul is its own infinite soul, principle is its own infinite principle, life is its own infinite life, that truth is its own infinite truth, that love is its own infinite love, and therefore there is nothing beside it. Therefore I can see that if I entertain that consciousness, I entertain the infinite one within my consciousness in a structured way, and see, besides that, there is anyway nothing. There isn't anything anything beside that. So in demonstration or in treatment, I already establish really the highest sense of it. Why should we then descend if this is the highest sense? Well, demonstration is always that which says, I have to correct all the suggestions that come up against my understanding. You see, that the demonstration that we have to make is that our understanding should be kept or can be kept so pure that nothing else enters. Well, demonstration in practice means there is a belief that there is something else, and that that belief must be seen through as non-existent. So I have to, therefore, in my consciousness, correct or seen through all the suggestions that come up within me. Now, the very first fundamental suggestion that comes up to me when I entertain in a treatment that level of science itself is that something comes up in the human consciousness and says, that's all right, that's wonderful, but that's the state of things. What is needed for demonstration is that something operates, that there is an operation that takes care of a situation. And the suggestion is that there must be an operational sense within that being. And that is what divine science does. It corrects that belief that there must be an operational sense by stating really the true operation of being. So it translates already the infinite one to the level of divine science, which says, well, you know, if you ask that it must operate, then I give you a true operational sense, which will take care of all your questions about a false operation. And so we come to the level of divine science, where we have the law of operation, and we come now a little bit to laws, and therefore perhaps we turn in our study aid. Well, perhaps the best thing is 78 and 79. You have there the laws ruling on the level of, on the various levels.